We are joined by a reporter and a storyteller for the NFL Network. He is a Hall of Fame voter. He is the author of Junior Seau, The Life and Death of a Football Icon. Very good friend of the program. Also a celebrity judge at the Turf and Serve Barbecue Championship on Sunday. My guest is Jim Trotter. Jim, what's up? Good morning. How are you?
Romy, how you doing, man? I love that last one.
Dude, you earned that last one. I can't wait to talk to you about that. In fact, it's going to take everything I have not to start with that, but why don't we start, Jim? With the NFL rule changes, they have been one of the big stories of the offseason. What did you make, Jim, of the rule changes when they were first announced?
Well, I understood because the league is big on player safety right now, and they want to avoid any legal lawsuits, obviously, based on concussion-related issues and whatnot. And so in terms of player safety, there's been a big push for that, so we all understood it. The thing that's really interesting to me is that as it relates to the lowering the head to initiate contact rule is, for instance, Anthony Lynn was one of the a handful of coaches who was in New York during that period where they explained this rule to the coaches, to the special teams coaches when they had the special teams meetings, all of that. And he asked very specific questions and whatnot, tried to get a clear understanding of exactly what was going on. And we get to the game Saturday night, and I spoke to him afterwards, and there was one instance where he thought his player was clean on a hit, and he ended up being flagged for it. And so he wanted some clarification from the league again on that. And truly, I think the league would do itself a favor if it came out to not just coaches but the public and explained the thought process behind some of these calls. Because I got to tell you, Jim, I've been at two games so far, and in both of them I saw what I thought to be sort of textbook tackles where the head was up and a flag was thrown.
Jim Trotter joining us. So, Jim, when you went to those games and you talked to defensive players, how do they feel about the rule?
You know, at this point, they understand what the league is trying to do, but they feel like they're in a really tough position because, look, it's an inherently violent game. We all understand that. But with some of these guys, you're having to be retaught to do something different from the way you've done it since the time you were a youth. And in talking to, for instance, Steve Wilks, the Cardinals coach after, he said it's going to take time. And he said it's going to start down at the youth level because you've got to start teaching it there, you know, head up, face mask up, see what you hit. And then it's got to go to the high school level and then the college level, and then it flows up to the NFL. So you're trying to retrain some of these players to do something that's really become rote memory for them also. So it's going to be a difficult process, and part of this is, look, the league is essentially saying if your head is up, if your face mask hits, whatever it is you're tackling, you're okay. But then you saw in the Cardinals game there was one instance where the safety looked to be in a great position, his head appeared to be up, he made the tackle, and the flag was thrown from behind the play. So there's just a little bit of confusion now. Is the league going to throw more penalty flags in the preseason than it will in the regular season? Possibly, you know, to try and get people's attention, and then they'll scale it back. But my fear is, and it's not just my fear, it's talking to coaches as well, is that at some point in a big game, in a big moment where everything is on the line, you're going to have a flag thrown for this. And there's going to be a lot of discussion and debate and emotion about whether it was the right or the wrong call.
Jim Trotter joining us. All right, Jim, one last thought then. I mean, certainly it would behoove the league to clarify this so everybody understands exactly what we're dealing with. Is clarification going to be enough, or do you expect the helmet rule will be changed before the start of the season?
I don't think it's going to be changed. I think it's here to stay. Look, the league is serious about player safety now, and they understand that the game has to change to protect these players. When you look at the data in terms of concussions and how that number's rising, they are concerned and they're serious about this. So for all of us who want to grouse and say this isn't the football we grew up with, we may be right, but it's not going to change. So the best thing that players can do is adjust to this. The question becomes, what are you adjusting to, and how is it being called? They just want consistency, I believe, ultimately, in how this is going to be called. And right now, early on, there doesn't appear to be that consistency.
Jim Trotter, NFL writer for NFL Media, joining us right now. All right, Jim, what about the Browns? They have said that their plan has been for Tyrod Taylor to be their starter. I have long maintained this guy just does not get the respect that he deserves as a player. So what's your sense as to how the Browns are feeling about their quarterback situation, especially after seeing how Baker Mayfield played?
No, they feel really good about it. You know, look, they really like Tyrod Taylor, and I know Todd Haley loves him. And is really excited about coaching him. For Baker, that was a really strong debut, you know, and what I heard from Browns people that I talked to is that, one, Baker's unafraid. You know, when he gets in that pocket, he's not afraid to pull the trigger, and he has ultimate confidence, and they like that. And so, you know, the stage, as one person said to me, wasn't too big for him. The moment wasn't too big, even in his first game, and I know it's a preseason game, but there are little things you see with that. So they're very excited about their situation at quarterback. And how strange is that, Jim? And we're talking about the Cleveland Browns
right.
being excited about, you know, their quarterback position, considering how many quarterbacks they've gone through since the franchise return.
How strange. Weirdest thing ever. Jim Trotter joining us. Jim, I want to ask you about a piece that you have up about Bobby Bethard. We have a lot of listeners in San Diego on 97.3 The Fan. You've got an excellent piece on the induction of Bobby Bethard into the Hall of Fame and his battle with Alzheimer's. What is your sense as to what that moment meant to him and his family?
Well, I can tell you this, it meant an awful lot to his family just because, obviously, they, like a lot of people, felt that this was something that Bobby has deserved for some time. I can't speak to how much Bobby really ultimately understands the moment. You know, as some family member said to me, in his mind, he believed he was already in the Hall of Fame from the standpoint of perhaps he conflated two moments where he was inducted into the, you know, Washington's Ring of Honor, to then coming to Canton several times for inductions for former players or coaches that he was responsible for hiring or drafting. So from that standpoint, if he did conflate those two things, you can see, because he said a couple different times, you know, what's the fuss about? I'm already in. But what it was more for me, Jim, was an opportunity to kind of step away from football and to see really this human side, and the emotion of this, and to see what that disease does to people. You know, Bobby's not the only one obviously going through it, and there are other longtime iconic names, in my opinion, in this game who are dealing with this. And so I'm not going to lie to you. It was a hard column to write from the standpoint I've known Bobby since, for me, 96 when I started covering the Chargers, and I remember how vibrant his personality was then, what a health nut he was in terms of biking and swimming and all those sorts of things. And so to kind of see that taken away from him, and not because he can't do it, but, you know, as his wife said to me at one point, he hasn't been in the water in 2 years, and it's not because he can't, it's because each day he thinks he's already been in the water. Mm. When she says to him, why don't you go for a swim? And he says, I already did. And he hadn't. So, it's tough, but the thing that was good and the thing I tried to do, at least with that column, was to end on something positive and to hear his family talking about how there was sort of a reawakening in him when he was there, because his long-term memory is really good. And so to be around all the guys again and to see him light up in that way and to share some of those old stories, that was a real positive of the moment.
Well done. Jim Trotter joining us. All right, Jim, before I let you go, as I mentioned off the very top, you are serving as a celebrity judge for the Turf and Surf Barbecue Championship at Del Mar on Sunday. Now, you've had some really nice honors over the course of your career. They're all richly deserved, but where does this one rank among your career highlights?
Man, this is awesome, Jim, because it's a buddy of mine is the one who started it, Sean Walchip, and they do a great job out there. And look, who would turn down, who wouldn't be happy to be a judge at a barbecue contest, you know, all you can eat, that sort of thing. So for me, it's a chance to support a friend. It's a chance to get some good eats. And it's a chance to sort of just give back and you know, be a good community guy. So I invite everyone to come on out to I went last year. It was tremendous. The food is great. And to have an opportunity to put my stamp on it on, you know, which dish I think is the best, I'm excited about it. So it's awesome. You got to come on down, Romy.
I know, right? I'm way overdue for that Del Mar run. I've got to do that. So Jim Trotter, reporter and storyteller for the NFL Network. He's also a Hall of Fame voter. Make sure you know about his book. He's the author of Junior Seau, The Life and Death of a Football Icon. Jim, great to have you back. Appreciate you. Have a great time this weekend.
All right, Romy. Thanks for having me, man.
Great talking to you, Jim. Thank you very much. Much respect. Jim Trotter, he is one of the best